This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. We are designed for joy. And we celebrate on this first Sunday in May, as is our tradition, Curcio Sunday. One of the many ways in which God makes it possible for us to experience joy in community. I want to tell you a little about my own Curcio experience for those of you who haven't heard it. When I was appointed as rector of this church in 2001, Bishop Friday installed me as rector, and then he said, "And now, Marty, you will go to Curcio." And every time they scheduled one, it was either on something that was happening in my family life or in this church life, and it just never fit. So finally, about 12 to 13 years into my time here, Bishop Friday said, "You know, it would be really better for you anyway not to do Curcio here. You should go to another diocese where people do not know you, so that way you can experience it as just another person on the journey, as opposed to the Reverend Canon Dr. Martin W. Zladek from St. Joseph's Episcopal Church. There would be a bias in the way that people would relate to you." So I was invited to go to the Diocese of Southern Virginia for Curcio as Marty. Now, the leaders of the retreat knew who I was, but nobody else did. I was Marty. You get a roommate, and my roommate's name was Paul. And Paul and I hit it on famously. Too famously. They have some rules at this Curcio because of some of the surprises they wanted to do, that when they sent you to your room at night, you were not allowed to leave your room until they knocked on your door the next morning. Well, Paul had grown up at this camp in Southern Virginia as first a camper and then as a counselor, and he wanted to go relive some old times and just touring around the campus at night with flashlights. "You want to go, Marty?" "Sure." We did. We had a great time. And we got caught. And there was some firm finger shaking, "Stay in your room." And so we went back. And then the next night, Paul said, "There's this other place I really want you to see." And so I went. Not knowing that this was one of the nights where there was something very special planned, and part of that surprise had to do with surprising people in their cabins. They got to our cabins, they opened the door, and it was just like the escape from Alcatraz. There were pillows there and no bodies. We got caught. I was the bad boy of Curcio. But boy, did we have fun. So when the retreat ends, they have an opportunity for people to share their experience of it. And the leaders had told me it would only be fair that at this gathering, you reveal who you are. So I got up in front of about 400 people and Paul, who did not know all this, and suddenly said, "And I am the Reverend Canon Dr. Marty Zladek, the rector of St. Joseph's Church in Boynton Beach, Florida." And Paul's face just went. And I could see Paul thinking, "Did I say dirty words to him? Did I say inappropriate things?" But it turned out being an incredible experience, and I'm so grateful to Bishop Friday for that, because I was able to experience it as a normal person would. And it gives us that opportunity just to have fun in a Christian community and relax and learn and pray together. And that's what Kersia was all about. So Alvin, at the announcements, will give you a little more details about it. But that's what we celebrate when we celebrate something like Kersia. I got into a lot of things that I didn't plan on happening. But boy, to this gospel today. So that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. You know, today is Easter in the Greek Orthodox Church. Those of us who were on the pilgrimage in Greece, it was rather strange because we're all with the Alleluias and celebrating, and we had 50 pounds of goodies to consume on the bus, snacks, and our tour leader, who's Greek Orthodox, says, "No, Lent, I can't do that." But for the Greeks, the Orthodox, there is this distinction, and they have this difficulty with us because of those words in the creed that say, "who proceeds from the Father and the Son." That in historical terms, the difficulty in theology was that the Greek Orthodox didn't see that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, that the Holy Spirit just proceeds from the Father. And not to get into deep theological discussions here, but the difficulty is, well, if the Holy Spirit proceeds from God the Father and not the Son, then there's a hierarchy in the Trinity, but they're all supposed to be God, equal, right? So, leave it at that. But what this gospel makes it clear is that the love we are called to take on and profess definitely proceeds from Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that tells us how to love, and Jesus is the one that shows us what that love is like. Love one another in the way that I have loved you. Total self-sacrificial love. Some people say that in our lives, the whole journey is for us to be moving from an idea of love that is a sort of a self-love, that I love in order to get something back. And our lives as Christians is to get to a point where we can love with that agape, total love that absolutely expects nothing in return. We only do it because it is the right thing to do, and we know that in doing that, following Jesus, our joy will be complete. Now, what that ends up doing for us is that there's a lot of surprises along the way that we didn't plan on. We just came back from this pilgrimage where we traced the second missionary journey of Paul. Paul starts and he goes for the first time to Europe because he has a vision. And he has the vision of this person saying in the book of Acts, "Come over to Macedonia and help us out." And he takes that message to be from God, so he travels over, he comes over to Thessaloniki and Philippi, and he's going to start preaching about this Jesus. They don't have a synagogue, but he knows that the Jews would meet by the river, so he goes down to Philippi by the river, and lo and behold, there are these people worshiping, and would you know, the first household and the first person who listens to his message about Jesus and wants to be baptized, surprise, surprise, is a woman. Her name is Lydia. What an incredible person in the Bible she turns out to be. Not only the first Christian baptized in Europe, but then she becomes a helper. offering hospitality to Paul and the Christians, and even giving them a space where they can gather for worship. Lydia, do you think Paul ever thought in his wildest dreams that the first one he'd baptize and would lead in following him is a woman in that day and age? And he goes on, and they get and they encounter some opposition. Some people don't like what's going on. And you know the story that Paul ends up being thrown in jail. And then there's this earthquake. And because they're singing and praying through the earthquake and all that, the jailer converts. The one who was in charge of making sure they didn't get away converts. Do you think Paul ever had any idea of that? There are Jewish people who don't like what Paul is doing, so they say, you got to get out of town, guy. And he goes to a place called Berea. So what do? They send more of these ne'er-do-wells to Berea to raise up trouble against Paul. He's got to leave there. He ends up going down to Athens, as we know. We got to go to that spot where Paul preached to all these philosophers and all of these smart guys who had all these pagan gods up in the Acropolis. And lo and behold, they listen to him and some of them convert. Do you think Paul had any idea? He ends up going to Corinth. And he's in Corinth for a year and a half, sharing the message before he ends up going back. In the book of Acts, in those chapters, there's just this surprise after surprise. But there's a big surprise in the book of Acts that we just heard about in the reading today. And that is the story of Peter and Cornelius. Now, in the first nine book of Acts, it is called the Acts of the Apostles for a reason, because it's what they did. And Luke, who wrote it, just goes from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And after nine chapters, he suddenly comes to the story about Peter and Cornelius. You know, he spends a chapter and a half talking about Peter and Cornelius. This is a huge part of the book of Acts, so it must be pretty important. And again, it emphasizes this same message to us that the way that we might have thought this love of Jesus was going to be shared and who's worthy to receive it might be a little different than we thought it was. So to recap the story a little bit, Peter is having these visions. He's up on the roof and there's this unclean meat and the voice says, pick it up and eat it. No, I don't eat that kind of stuff. But he knows that there's a message there. Cornelius is over here, and Cornelius is having the same kinds of visions. He sends for Paul to come. They come, they get together, they share their stories. And then Paul preaches and talks about Jesus. And after he preaches to all these Gentiles, they start speaking in tongues and emphasizing signs that they have received the Holy Spirit. Now, up to this point, you had to become a Jew to be a Christ follower. Now, all of a sudden, as we hear today, Peter says, you know, they're exhibiting all the right signs. Who am I to say that this is not God's plan for them too to be received into the fold? It is a huge change of heart and change of mind in the church. Luke refers to this story in the book of Acts four different times because it is so pivotal for them and for us. So perhaps one of the takeaways we can have today is, yeah, we are all called to love like Jesus loves, but we all need to be open that it might be calling us to love in ways and loving other people that we never thought we're on God's radar. I want to end with a little anecdotal story. It's a fable. It comes to us through one of my favorite guys, John Claypool. And he talks about an emperor in India who went with his slave and was hunting. and something happened with his hunting rifle, and it fell, and it broke off a piece of the emperor's thumb. He bandages it up. He's very upset. He's cursing. He's screaming. And the slave says to him, "You know, emperor, you never know about these things, that there could be some good that comes out of this." And the emperor just blows a gasket, takes the slave, says, "You are a no good slave. That makes no sense," and throws him down a well and goes off about his business. Very shortly thereafter, the emperor is approached by a bunch of savages, human sacrifice savages. And because they hadn't expected to find an emperor, they decide he's our next sacrifice. So they start preparing him to be sacrificed at the altar. And then the chief priest comes and sees, oh, this guy is blemished. He's not unblemished. His thumb is all bandaged. We can't use him. And so they let him go. Now, very relieved is the emperor, but then he looks at his thumb and he thinks, you know, that slave told me that this might bring something good. So he rushes back to the well where he had thrown in the servant, rescues the servant, and says, "I apologize to you, I'm so sorry." And he tells him the story, and the slave says, "You shouldn't apologize to me, because the fact that you threw me in the well, had that not happened when the savages came, I would have been with you. And I don't have a messed up thumb." Sometimes we do not know. God's ways are so far beyond ours. So as we reflect on these powerful words of Jesus today, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete, look for the ways that maybe God is calling each one of us to go out of our comfort zone a little bit more to share the love that comes to us through Jesus. Amen.